Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe on EEI.
Tatum. Oh, left it wide open. We can't do that.
Tatum, going to the basket this time for two.
Tatum is putting on a scoring
clinic. Tatum, just keep counting. Every time he hits the ball, like, okay, now it's 25 and counting. Tatum, step away three.
Got it. Ooh, Tatum comes back with the big answer.
Smart. Tatum, nice move with the dribble to the basket.
This one is a final on a Monday night in Uptown. The Boston Celtics score 140 points. They need an overtime period to do it.
That's a bit of a voice morph right there from Brian Scalabrine. I didn't know he could put it together like that. No, that was the Hornets call of the 141-29 overtime win for the Boston Celtics last night, where the Celtics went on a run in overtime. They outscored the Charlotte Hornets 18-7 in OT. Jason Tatum with 41, Jaylen Brown with 30 points, Dennis Schroeder had 23, and those three guys really led the way last night against a Hornets team that was sneaky undefeated going into this one.
3-0, kind of odd, and I think Rozier's only played like half a game or whatever. It's been LaMelo Ball, it's been Miles Bridges, assuming he's still with us after Jaylen Brown took his soul last night on that dunk in overtime, one of the highlights of the night and across all sports.
Yeah, before that happened, Mike Gorman was really pumping up Bridges and saying, hey, this kid can play.
Scal gave him the yeah. Anything else?
Nope.
That's why he's the best color man in the business, folks. But the Celtics, I think, Gresh, the thing with them is they're going to have to learn how to win and like close out games, because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to put up all-star numbers like they did last year, but they were 500. So how can they take those numbers and now have that equal wins? And so that's going to be Ime Udoka. That's going to be some of the other guys. It's going to be those two as well, like trying to get the most out of their teammates and things like that. But, you know, a game against Charlotte where it's close in the fourth quarter, all right, you go into overtime. And then, you know, to their credit, they blew doors in overtime. But you'd like to see them kind of get the edge late fourth quarter in some of these games.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that stand out. And I know I went off at the beginning of the show that even though Tatum scored 41, 7-7 from the line, we saw when he was getting to the line at the end of last year and into the postseason that it kind of changed the way this team played. It made him, in my opinion, meaning Tatum, a better player. But we have not seen a ton of defense so far. And I know we're not going to necessarily sound the alarms just yet. However, one of the things that we had heard about Ime Udoka as a coach was not only about how the players respected him, but also that, you know, he understands that you got to play a modicum of defense to be able to get through not only the regular season, but to be able to excel then in the postseason. And we just haven't seen any of it yet. And I admit, Keith, and I know you were doing Dork last night, so you didn't really consume it, but I still have not figured out exactly what Ime Udoka basketball is just yet.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I don't think we know, like, through four games, I think it's hard to say, like, what makes this so much different than what Brad Stevens brought to the table? You know, like, I don't think we really know yet. You know, that second game was horrible. Like, we'd seen a few of those under Brad where you're just, like, head-scratching. You just got blown out by a worse team. What the hell was that? You know, the Knicks, that in the opener, they played that like it was their Super Bowl. They were so fired up for that game, and that one goes double overtime. So, yeah, it's hard to get a sense of what they are. But it's just, you know, is Tatum, do you see Tatum taking that next step? And after the first two games, you're like, all right, he's still trying to figure that he was cold in those two games. The last two look more like the, all right, this guy could be all NBA second team. This guy could steal a couple MVP votes. Like, he's starting to look like that a little bit more.
Yeah, I get irked very easily in terms of the hero ball where guys are standing around and he's shooting it. But maybe the happy medium is if he doesn't get off to a good shooting start, then penetrate and take it to the hole.
Right.
Because that is a consistent in Jaylen Brown's game. He is not afraid to go to the rack. He is not afraid really to get, I think, knocked on his ass. And it turns into last night where he's out there, you know, snatching Miles Bridges' Oof. Soul from him because he goes to the rim with purpose. And I want to see more out of that. To me, that is what will make Jason Tatum get to the next level. But we've seen this rotation of Tatum, Time Lord, Marcus Smart, Dennis Schroeder, and Jaylen Brown. Is that their best five?
I think it is.
Or was that their best five for last night, given who they're playing?
No, I think it's their best five overall. And you're right, there's going to be some lineups that are a little bit bigger that might be tough to go up against. But I think Al Horford is going to play a lot when he's available. And, you know, maybe who else? Langford, if he's available. Maybe Josh Richardson. So this, to me, is their best five. You know who the top two guys are. And then the next two are probably Schroeder and Smart in whatever order you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then throw Time Lord out there. So that probably is their best five. I feel like it's a little light on shooting, especially if it's a night where Smart doesn't have it, which is most nights. And Schroeder not known for his outside shot either. So now you're really relying on Tatum and Brown to be on fire from outside. Because think about some of the lineups that Stevens would trot out in the past where all five guys could shoot threes.
Yes.
That's a lineup, or really only two of them can. Or at least only two of them that you want to. Marcus Smart will take him, yes. I mean, as again, last night, Marcus Smart, 1 of 9 from three. 3 of 12 from the floor. Classic Smart line. Schroeder, 4 of 9 from three. So that's, I don't think you can rely on that. But that probably is their best five right now.
Okay, now, I know you were taping the Dork Podcast last mm-hmm. night, which, by the way, is up and available at Dork Podcast and on Twitter. At Dork Podcast, you can also get it at WEEI.com is really where I wanted to go with that. Get it on WEEI.com. Last night, I'm listening to Mike mm-hmm. and Scal, mm-hmm. and they talked about how with Tatum and Williams and Smart and Schroeder and Brown, and maybe not so much Time Lord, but they were talking about how the league now,
the whole league,
the NBA, is going to having players like a Grant Williams on the roster because he is the guy he completes the set. He's the guy who, when you have the stars, he'll go out there and do the grunt work. And there's always that. I think they might have even used the word blender. You know, he's the guy out there who can. You know, I thought of. And I'm sure you might like this player, but if you remember back in the day, and I'm talking about the Patino and then the Jim O'Brien years, remember they had Adrian Griffin?
Yeah.
And they talk about Adrian Griffin. Oh, he'll play defense. He can rebound.
Yeah.
When he gets hot, he can score. Da da da. Like, is Grant Williams an Adrian Griffin type for this group to kind of be a glue? And I know you hate Grant Williams.
Yeah. No. Isn't Smart that guy? Like, your guy doesn't need to also suck. He can be Draymond Green. He can be, if you're looking for that, like a Shane Battier or a Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, I like
those guys. You take one of those guys.
But is Grant Williams maybe the forward version of that? Even though Bowen could defend some forwards and all that stuff.
Right.
It's very interesting, though, that they were pumping him up on the broadcast. And by the way, of all the bench guys who played, Grant Williams logged 25 minutes last night.
That was scary. I mean, I don't know what happened there. I mean, apparently Udoka still likes him, or maybe he's getting the edict from Brad on high. Like, listen, you got to play this guy.
Oh,
I love this guy.
Now you're going to conspiracies here. And that, but in all seriousness, Ime likes him some Grant Williams.
Apparently he does. And I just feel like you can do better than that. Find somebody a little bit more talent that is a glue guy or a friendly guy. Like, who's more likely to airball a layup? Anybody in the league than Grant Williams? Like, I just I don't know. I don't get the Grant Williams experience. I don't.
I do dig that you have a severe dislike of this guy.
Good.
That it's just
not a good player.
But right now, I mean, Jabari Parker did have a night last night.
So that's a night. One where I can't get too fired up about it. And I think once every other week or so, you get something like this from Parker. No, but isn't that the case with a lot of bench guys? Like, not the sixth man. The sixth man needs to be more reliable, maybe even the seventh man. But everybody else after that.
He gives you four games a month that are pretty good.
Yeah.
Like one a week,
so like a dart throw for Udoka. And like some nights you'll know, like, this guy kind of has it tonight. Okay, then he doesn't have it tonight. Yep, back on the bench. And so I think Parker maybe still has some of that game in him somewhere.
Good or bad, Udoka not playing as many guys as Brad Stevens.
I love it. I don't need to see a million guys. Now, early in the season, he may kind of want to experiment with different guys because he probably doesn't know who his best eight or nine are.
Correct.
I bet that's changing. So, but by the end of the season, I really hope that it's sort of a thin bench.
You mentioned Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart apparently almost didn't play last night because of body aches.
Yeah, I've been dealing with migraines and just body aches. And then I don't even know if I was going to play tonight. So.
Body aches?
Body aches and migraines.
That's an old thing to have happen. It's like rainy outside and your joints get creaky.
Right. I was going to say, and I know a lot of people are like, what about COVID? It's like, well, these guys get tested all the time, so I don't think they're gonna play him out there with that, because those are two like
agreed
body aches.
So yes,
like, that's not good. But yes, apparently he was sick. He definitely played like he was sick
A little bit. Ime after the game talked about Smart.
Yeah, that's what he's always been about. Not always something that shows up on the stat sheet.
True.
You know, he's 3-for-12 tonight, 1-for-9 from three, but had some decent looks, missed them, but he impacts the game in other ways. And so I said it to the group in there. I said, I don't care about the 41 and the 30 from you guys. Marcus, play of the game, you know, taking that last shot away from them. And so he does all the little things, switching on to LaMelo and guarding some of those guys well. He does so much that doesn't show up in the box score, but we know the toughness and the heart and soul of our team comes from him.
I mean, the ultimate, don't look at the box score. Trust me, he's a good guy, right? He and Al Horford both look at the numbers. The numbers, you get lost in the numbers.
There is a part of me that does kind of love that Ime Udoka is poo-pooing the scoring and he's highlighting the
like
little
it.
Things. I kind of dig that
because
Brad
time,
Stevens would never do that.
No, but you kind of did need the 71, though. I think without the 71 by those guys,
course.
You may lose that game by 30, but hey, Marcus dove on the floor once. So let's give him the
set
game ball.
Some good picks. What's the problem?
No, listen, I like Marcus, too. I'm not trying to look at this as like I'm piling on Marcus. I think,
no, you hate Grant Williams.
I do.
You don't hate. You get disgruntled with Marcus. You can't stand Grant Williams.
But because Marcus, to me, is useful. Like, you can't have five guys that all think they're going to score 30 points.
Very
My problem
true.
With Marcus is sometimes he does think he's one of those 20-point-per-game scorers, and he's not. But if he sticks to the great defensive plays or I made fun of it, but like diving on the floor, you know, saving a possession, that is useful, and he needs to do it. But it is funny where twice in the answer he had to say, "Don't look at the box score." Like, okay, I got it. We've been watching Marcus long enough. We know it's not going to show up in the box score.
Celtics will play the Wizards tomorrow night, in fact, and we'll get you ready for that one tomorrow. Tom E. Curran will also join us tomorrow as well, except we're going to slide him back a little bit. He's going to join us at 12:30 tomorrow. So those of you who love you some Tom E. Curran, make the note. Tom E. joins us tomorrow at 12:30. We also touched on the Brady 600th football deal.
Yes.
And that apparently Brady is giving a Bitcoin to this gentleman who was given this 600th touchdown ball accidentally by Mike Evans. And Beamy in Taunton wants to set us straight on Bitcoin.
Oh, good.
Beamy, you're with Gresh and Keefe.
What's going on, my guys?
How you doing?
Listen, we're good. Listen, let me tell you something, man. That Bitcoin is going to be worth so much more money than whatever that ball is going to be worth currently present right now. I know that ball is going to go up in value as time goes on and that record goes cemented in history, but the Bitcoin is going to surpass the value of that.
How much do you think it's going to be? Because we've already heard a number on what the ball is going to be worth.
Well, listen, just the Bears, those are the ones who are just like the conservative price predictions. And by 2030, you're looking at close to $1.5 million to all the way towards like $5 million per Bitcoin.
Yeah. And Beamy is, now you can tell that Beamy kind of knows what he's talking about here a little bit. And Beamy, yeah, thank you, friend. But here's the thing, right?
You got any Bitcoins over there, Sean?
But
no, I got to go mine some.
Yeah, let me get a Bitcoin.
But for those who are...
Here we go. Teach me about Bitcoin. I know nothing.
No. But for those who are traditional investors, right? For those who have their
piggy banks,
say TD Ameritrade portfolio or their piggy banks, either way, right? I know that for a lot of conservative investors and some of the older financial advisors out there, they tell you it's almost like the formatics of radio or the blocking and tackling of football. It's the, here are the things that you know that you can, it's like the stuff that people use, right? Power, electricity, natural gas, things like that. And then there are those who are into the speculative market, and that is really Bitcoin. Bitcoin is very speculative in terms of,
I'll play along.
This is where it kind of could go.
Okay.
The problem is,
what if it doesn't?
But that's the thing is that it really should be. Bitcoin should, if all your portfolio is Bitcoin, you could get wicked rich, but you could also be working at 80.
Man.
And but if Bitcoin is just a small offshoot of what is your traditional investment portfolios, IRAs, things like that, if you have a personal account with TD Ameritrade as well, you have the ability to manipulate the funds and the stocks that you're sort of investing in there.
Can you cash out on Bitcoin anytime?
You can.
Okay.
And in fact, it's something that people tell you not to do.
Well, this guy was saying keep it in there till 2030 and it might be worth over $1 million.
The problem for the traditional analysts is they can't quantify it and they can't effectively predict it because there are too many things out there in the financial world that can just overturn the Bitcoin apple cart. Whereas if you're in a conservatively invested portfolio and you can get yourself anywhere from 6 to 10%, depending on how aggressive you are in doing it, you can get yourself a nice return every year. Like if you hit Powerball and you have $50 million in cash and you just slam it into a relatively conservatively managed TD Ameritrade account or something like that. I'm using them as an example because that's what I got.
Yeah.
And you're getting 6% on $50 million. That's a hell of a lot of money to be able to, but most people obviously don't have that.
Now, didn't Trevor Lawrence, when he got drafted by the Jaguars, want some of his money in Bitcoin?
They did, yes. There are some players who are now asking to be paid in Bitcoin, and I think it was, who did you mention?
Trevor Lawrence, I think.
Trevor Lawrence was a part of it, but there was a lineman with Carolina who was it, Russell Okung? I don't know why Okung is the guy sticking him. Is it him, John?
I believe it was him after he like got traded from the Chargers there.
Something like that. Yeah, so he wanted like half.
The guarantee.
Kansas City's Sean Culkin will become the first NFL player to have his entire salary in Bitcoin.
That's risky.
Calling it the gold standard of this generation. He will be paid a base salary of $920,000, paid to him by the Chiefs in biweekly installments. The currency will then immediately convert into Bitcoin through some app.
So here's a guy who jumps on a part of this Bitcoin conversation real quick, 774, and this is a part of it as well, is that when does Bitcoin get recognized as legal tender? And he said it's not going away. Countries are using it as legal tender. Fortune 500 companies have it on their balance sheet. People in Congress and politicians are heavily invested. This is where I don't agree with the texter, is that it's going to take over the USD, meaning it's going to become
the dollar,
which I don't buy.
I don't think in our lifetime.
Well, I have a question. Why wouldn't you just take the ball, sell it for $500,000, buy multiple Bitcoin, keep some money?
How much is a Bitcoin?
Well, because
I think it's valued right now like $60,000.
No, the one that Brady is giving is a little over $62,000. Because remember, there's different Bitcoins that are out there.
So just buy like five of those.
Yeah.
Then you still have $200,000 in your pocket.
Good point.
And five Bitcoin.
Yeah. And that pro shop money.
But I brought this up to Keith, and I know we're going to get to Mac. I brought this up to Rich, though. When you're in that moment, are you really with it to be like, I might be holding my like house and kids' college education in my hand? Or when the guy comes over and is like, Mr. Brady would like to meet you after the game, do you crap your pants right there and go meet Tom Brady?
Well, so you know what? Because I'm a good guy, this is actually what would have happened. If I got the ball.
Good sell.
Because I'm a grown-up.
You're
right?
Like eBay selling the don't look at the statue.
I'm an adult man. So if, as much as I like cool crap and like keepsakes and everything, if I was at a game and somebody handed me a ball, I would look around and give it to a kid The kid, it would make the kid's life. The kid would be so excited. I would give the kid, and then
ruin yours.
I would find out that that ball is worth a Bitcoin, and I would steal the ball back from the kid. I would shove the kid down, and I would say, listen, I didn't mean to. I said you could hold it. I didn't say you could have it. I thought you wanted to see it. I was showing it to you. Because how devastating would that be? You try to be the good guy, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you just half a million. You just handed away $500,000. Whoops.
People didn't find out that it was valued at that until Darren Revelle tweeted about it later on that day. But still, that's a massive.
That's what actually in real time I would have done. I would have taken the ball. I would have gone on Twitter. I would have tweeted at Darren Revelle. How much? And then he would have been like,
seriously,
he knows. You would have found out.
You would have found out within 5 minutes. The guy's like, oh, I want to negotiate. I got to go to the can.
But you have to know something's up when they want the ball, because a lot of players just throw. Remember, Cam Newton used to give away every ball in Carolina. He would score one and then he would hand it to a kid in the crowd. But Mike Evans does it, and then immediately some guy from the staff comes running out. It's like, hey, I need that back. You'd be like, okay. It's not like, remember when Christian Arroyo threw his bat into the stands in Houston? And they're like, well, we need that one back because it's not worth anything, but he's going to strike out later with it. But,
so there it is. Now, Mac Jones joined Maloney and Fourier yesterday, and apparently Mac Jones' pregame meal is a big deal. Because it doesn't matter what time of day that he is eating this steak and spaghetti and things like that. And he talked about it with the MFers.
Hey, Mac, during the game, I think at one point someone let us in on your pregame meal. Like, even for a 1 o'clock game, is it steak and eggs with spaghetti? Is that true?
Yeah.
8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Is that every game, or is that like a timing thing? Like early morning, that's what it is. What if it's a night game? Is it still steak and eggs and spaghetti?
Yeah, it's always the same thing, regardless of the kickoff. Same thing in college, just getting into a routine. And I've eaten that at 6 in the morning before 11 o'clock games in college. So it's just part of the routine that I've gotten into. And yeah, so it just kind of gets your mind ready. And it's nothing crazy. I think it's a pretty simple meal. So
you're taking down 10 chocolate chip cookies, like you put them in the fridge, and then the next thing you know, they all disappear?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy with his eating habits, like, no wonder he's kind of doughy. He's getting up at 6 a.m. He's eating pasta and eggs and steak every day or every game day.
It's a pretty
Wouldn't you feel kind of heavy? Eating all that before a game?
Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin couldn't play with an empty stomach.
Well, I mean,
only played with an empty stomach.
If he's eating a, 21-ounce bone-in ribeye, I would think it's a little much. But if it's like the steak and eggs, pasta, it's protein, the pasta deal.
He's like, it's just starting to get my mind right. It's like, no, you're not. You're just hungry all the time. That's what Shime says now. Yeah, I got to get my mind right around lunch. Like, you're not getting your mind right.
Every day before the show.
I'm going to go home and have 6 cheeseburgers, get my mind right.
Shime can't use that because he's anti-Mac, so he can't shark that.
It's a good line, though, Mac.
No, this guy's crazy.
I don't think he is crazy. You know what, though? Maybe that's a good thing. I mean,
you want your guy to be a little off.
He's a tad askew,
like an NHL goalie.
But that is a lot to just wake up. So then you think he's making that, or he's got a poor girlfriend making that for him?
But no, but if apparently the Patriot players had talked about, like, they're in a pregame meal and then there's this like thing of spaghetti there and it's from Mac. So they put it out as a part of
his contract.
Yeah.
He signed off. He's like, yeah, I need pasta, eggs, and steak.
So what's he eating, right? A 6-ounce filet or sirloin, maybe a little bit of scrambled eggs in there and then some pasta. Like, it's not going to make you crap your pants.
No, but if you eat a lot of pasta, don't you just get that pasta full when you're like, oh, my God, I ate too much pasta? You're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel great eating
probably
it.
Probably eating a nice cacio pepe.
Thanks.
Stop playing with your cacio pepe in there and get ready for trending. No, 617.
But don't you feel full? Don't you feel full after a lot of pasta? Like, you feel great, but you're like, I can't barely get off the couch.
Did I ever tell you
this guy's going to play in an NFL game?
Did I ever tell you what my pregame high school meal was?
No, I don't think you did.
Oh, this is gross. What?
Oh, don't do this.
No, because you won't imagine that someone at 300 pounds at 16, 17 years old was eating this and then going to play a high school game. A
couple of Laffy Taffys?
I ate 2 Whoppers with both fries and onion rings.
Okay.
And then I would go to the Newport Creamery I used to
work
at.
You have a milkshake?
No, get a 4-scoop. There was a name for
it.
The 4-scoop sundae. Then I go next door and buy a package of Twinkies and a Mountain Dew, where then I go out for warm-ups, and I come back in, and right as the coach is giving the big speech, there I am, eating Twinkies.
Before every game?
Yep,
that's disgusting.
I only crapped myself 1 game.
I'm fat, and I find that disgusting.
I have audio of Gresh in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to clip the hip saying, oh, he crapped himself once.
I have... I have video.
Brother.
You give John such a hard time here.
I have video.
You guys just became best friends.
Well, because what happened was I was the kicker. So one team.
Okay.
So one team had this like guy kind of hit me from the side and there just it went. Pooped. And I just. But I had to play the whole first half.
That's awful.
So you could see in the huddle because it stunk. I'm not going to lie.
But you ate two Whoppers before and every in a Sunday?
High school. Oh, yeah.
Before every game?
Every high school game, yeah. In college, I cleaned it up a little bit.
Oh, that's great.
I went to William & Mary and finally ate pasta. First time I was 20 years old, I never ate pasta
You never
before.
Had pasta before?
I didn't like it. And oh, for okay. some reason, it was big.
Like, it didn't make it up to Western
it
PA?
Was not like pasta?
No, I didn't. Like I hated it.
There's so many different kinds.
It was more big. It was baked ziti. Basically, Shives it was pasta smothered right with cheese. Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Oh, yeah. Pasta. It was gross. But I have the video of the old VHS of me in this game where the huddle's moving away from me. My butt got chafed. I'd put toilet paper between my butt cheeks. Keep playing second half. I'm not kidding. I ain't ashamed to say
it. I've enacted that move.
You probably both should have taken a couple plays off.
You're shy. I'm ready to trend.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keith, I think it is. Rich Keith.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
Kiefer Madness.
Where is Keith?
Hey, Keith, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keith is a nice guy.
Keith's a nice guy. Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
I bring it.
One of the zebras on the run in Maryland has died.
58 cents per head.
Hello there, you're a nerd. I want to say I'm sorry for the things I've done, and I try and be stronger in this life I chose. But I want you to know that door I closed, in your honor, I'm sorry, 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 sorry.
All right, it is noon 30 on a Tuesday. That means it's time for Kiefer Madness on Gresh and Keith. And I'll tell you what, Gresh, some people want to live forever.
They do.
And some people want to know, how can you do it? How is it possible? Well, we might have a secret from a lady who is doing just that.
All right, well, this is some good advice. A 106-year-old woman from Spring Township says Yingling Lager is one of the keys to a long life.
So we're already a lady after my own heart, basically beer. Beer is the key to a nice long life.
And I think this lady is a Yinzer because that is Western Pennsylvania. Yep. And Yingling is from the area.
It sure is. 106 years young.
106? Well, she's got a good meatloaf recipe.
Many would argue that you wouldn't want to live to be 106.
I think I'd want to cap out after a while.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I would think me at 100 would not be good.
Yeah. Probably
trying
not.
Trying to get an ice cream sundae.
Some issues. Yeah, exactly.
Soiling.
Uh-huh.
Is one of the keys to a long life.
You know, the Yingling people love that. Yes. In fact, the makers of her favorite beverage gave her an early birthday present today. Jim Fassel has the story.
Jim Fassel, the old Giants coach, is now doing upstate news?
I guess so, yeah.
I know his kids on the Cowboys staff.
Rough times, yeah. I guess.
Has the story.
It's not scary. She's 106 years old. You don't want to kill the lady.
Yeah, they're all sitting outside.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone's socially distanced on this.
Very smart.
The once in a century kind of birthday present.
I drink Yingling's lager beer.
I love it. Okay. So is that the sound of someone who's 106 or 106 and ripped for their birthday party?
She's hammered. All she does is drink beers. Yeah, she's hammered. But it's working for her. God bless her.
I drink Yingling's lager beer.
Okay. love the enthusiasm. She actually looks great.
Yes.
We saw the video of this, and she looks tremendous.
For 106.
Yeah.
She does not look like she should be on the Golden Girls or anything like that.
She does not look like she sounds.
I drink Yingling's lager beer.
Soon-to-be 107-year-old Margaret DeLillo says she attributes her longevity to drinking a Yingling a day. 69 News viewers knew this years ago.
Nice.
It's channel 69.
Nice.
Folks.
69 News viewers knew this years ago when she turned 100.
But I do think drinking a glass of Yingling beer every day helps.
I mean,
so that was when they did the a story on this young lady when she was 100.
Yeah.
And that when she looked right into the camera with nary a wrinkle on her face. And when she said that, it sounded like she'd had a dart or two as well
I don't think that's the key to long life, but I could be wrong.
But I do think drinking a glass of Yingling beer every day helps.
The Pottsville-based brewery also knew this, so it delivered an early birthday gift of nearly 500 cans of her favorite traditional lager.
Hold on a second. That's 2 years worth
for
her.
They did. So
if she's really just drinking one a day, which I guess is up for debate.
They think 500? She's going to live 500 days?
Where's she going to put all those?
What would that make her, 108 and a half?
It would make her on the way to 110. What they're hoping for here. I don't know. With her attitude and her... beer consumption, sky's the limit.
Don't you think, though, that along the way, it's been more like two a day, maybe four?
Well, I mean, you have some of these Mondays, might be three, four, five a day.
I would think so. And she lived through the Great Depression.
Right. There's always cause for celebration. Then you have the holidays.
Well, that's true.
Holidays come around. You're like, well, I normally have the one, but I guess, you know, I'm not driving, so I'll do a couple more.
Yeah, this COVID reminds me of the COVID. Spanish flu. Let me go have some more. Let me go have some more drinks.
That's a mead.
To her home in Spring Township with her family and friends by her side.
There's five generations of her family. We have six generations in our family, and that's taken us almost 200 years. So
that was the lady who owned Yingling.
Yingling. Yeah, Debbie Yingling.
Yeah, Debbie Yingling.
Debbie, what's her name?
Imagine growing up with the last name Yingling and how mean people were.
Or
John would be pointing it out, I'm sure. You can't say those things.
Right, yeah, why would I be pointing that out?
But that'd be your in. I mean, they were probably just getting hammered all the time. Talk about if you were friends with a Yingling in high school.
Yeah, guess whose parents' basement you're drinking in? The Yinglings.
And they're just like, hey, as long as it's Yingling, whatever you guys want.
Be like Peter Griffin, get a job at the brewery.
Yeah, well.
Where's my pants?
Well, maybe you'd turn into that.
There's a lot of similarities, but I think it's consumers and drinkers like her, which you don't see very often. That's why we're still making great beer.
So your whole platform is trying to get a 100-year-old lady to drink your beer?
Listen, that's a long-time buyer. Imagine how much money she spent on Yingling over 106 years.
I mean, that's true. They just gave her 500 of them.
I mean, if we could lock in a listener for 70 years, wouldn't we?
I would. Yeah, I would. I mean, you got to drink them fresh, though, which I think is going to be a problem for her.
Prayers are answered.
Sure.
Prayers are answered.
Prayers are answered.
Hey, Shav, did you see somebody just brought pizza into the kitchen?
Prayers are answered.
Hey, John, do you know they added baby wipes to the bathroom?
Prayers are answered.
I bring my own in. Are you kidding me? Top drawer.
Oh, my God. To think that she might have actually... I went down and I lit a novena, so they would bring me beer.
That's it. 500 brewskis.
Prayers are answered.
Sure. Lager is one part of her secret to longevity.
What else? What else could it be?
If it's
beer and... there's a catch here. It's beer and...
Soup from Eaton Park.
Soup is a good guess. And then you mentioned cigarettes earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Could be maybe marijuana. She's
smoked those unfiltered. Now, that would be something.
Wouldn't it be pretty good if she was a big weed lady?
Hey, let's go to Nana's house. She's got some bud and Yingling.
Let's find out.
We're going to watch a Stiller game.
Let's find out.
The other is her faith.
Oh.
Well, she did pray for it. She said her prayers
are
answered.
Prayers are answered.
Well, yeah, we should have sniffed that one out, I'm guessing.
So, of course.
That. Yeah.
Margaret is a member of the Emmanuel United Church of Christ in Shillington. It was actually her pastor who came up with the idea to bring Yingling to town.
Okay.
What? Everybody. The pastor came up with the Yingling?
Now, see.
He's a good pastor.
One of those cool young pastors.
Yeah, he's cool. Little bit. Having grown up in that area,
have a few brews.
Well, there's like my grandparents always wanted me to go to church. Mm-hmm. So my mom would be okay with going to church and she'd drag us. And my dad would be like, I'm not going. He'd sit around and drink. So gotcha. This is a pastor who's trying to make sure to lure all those half drunken coal miners in on Sundays.
Or maybe he's one of the pastors that actually
it's a lady
when it comes to
Jesus loves you.
Is the pastor a lady?
Yeah, they said her.
Well, maybe she participates during Lent in the only beer diet, where you literally only have beer.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, it is a thing. It's a thing.
This lady probably started that 83 years ago.
I've known Margaret for about 15 years now. And they want you to-
Which is nothing to that lady. That's barely an experience.
It's a blink of an eye.
You've known her for 15 years?
I met her when she was 91.
You're like, yeah, right, basically.
Not always something that shows up on the stat sheet.
She's lived three lives before you came into hers.
For about 15 years now. And they want you to have a front row seat at
Pastor Megan Higson.
They want you to sit in the front! Like, the lady, she can hear you. She just hear the interview when they don't have to scream in her face. Oh, my God.
Pastor Megan Higson says Margaret lights up the room every Sunday morning.
Margaret comes with just a deep appreciation for life.
And beer breath.
I was thinking beer farts.
Of course you were.
She walks in. But she, first of all, at over 100, you get cleared. You get cleared.
Do whatever you want.
On the walking farts.
Oh, yeah. She cleans on the tennis racket challenge.
At that point, there's no latch.
No.
Just like John.
Yep. And you got to figure she's like walking down the aisle.
Appreciation for life and a recognition that faith brings comfort, faith brings strength.
Beer is the word, it's in the Bible. Don't tell you to drink it, but it's in.
A toast to Margaret, who will always be God first, beer second. Jim Vassell, 69 News.
Nice.
Wonderful. All right. Well.
Okay. There you go. There's the math.
Insane.
I've never had a Yingling in my life.
There you go.
It always goes back to those stiff anchors. Oh, well, guy, hey, 106. You are. Congratulations to that lady.
Mm-hmm.
Slamming down Yingling, the walking farts in church, and just living life. God bless her. I hope she gets to 110. Updated story in 4 years.
That'd be great.
Then how many cakes they cut down to maybe 200?
They'd be like, all right, lady.
Like 200 beers they'd give her then, something like that, knock it down. Well, we know the COVID is knocking down some rosters in the NFL. We will get to that and a trade in the NFL, kind of, next.
Try drinking Yingling's lager beer. My prayers are answered.
69 News.
Like the show?
Of course you do.
And not that other way, freaks.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Oh boy, NFL, we got some problems. Problems across the league for many different teams in the league. 1249, Gresh and Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. We will turn the page and move on to the Chargers coming up in a little over 10 minutes from now. Also, Ty Law spinning some hot fire on the Greg Hill Show earlier this morning. We'll get to that, but got a little problem in Green Bay there, Keith.
Yeah, a little bit.
Davante Adams is in the COVID protocol. Now, apparently he has been vaccinated, and if he were to produce two negative tests on consecutive days, he would be cleared to play. The problem is those tests need to come on Tuesday and Wednesday because Green Bay plays on Thursday night.
I know. Packers-Cardinals, too, which is a great way to start Week 8. That's one of the games of the week. Undefeated Cardinals, Packers, and Davante Adams having another awesome season. And I don't think he's going to play because I feel like this same thing came up with Antonio Brown earlier in the year, and he was actually playing on Sunday. And he still wasn't ready to go. And then the next week he came back and it was actually the Patriots game and he was great. So, I don't know. I would assume no Davante Adams. And that's why we mentioned last hour Alan Lazard as a guy in fantasy to probably pick up for Thursday.
Well, the Cardinals had Chandler Jones on the reserve COVID list for a while. So
he's back now.
Teams have been dealing with this, yes. And Matt Nagy of the Chicago Bears is on the COVID list, which some would say good.
Could help him.
Good as in,
well, Fields
gets him out of the way and maybe they can go be a functional football team.
Potentially, yeah.
By not having him on there. And Joe Flacco has been traded once again. And I know that it was mentioned in Trending with Scheim, but the Jets traded a conditional sixth round pick to Philadelphia that can possibly get bumped up to a fifth. Based on playing time.
Like, why?
For quarterback Joe Flacco.
Like, honest question, and not just because it's Joe Flacco, but if you're the Jets, why would you trade anything for a quarterback right now?
Well, because
find a street guy or play Mike White. Zach Wilson's not out for the year. And what are you trying to do? Win a game?
They didn't want Cam Newton for 4 weeks.
No, they didn't.
But I mean, that's my best guess because I'm trying to think of the street free agents right now. And
but like
Cam's the biggest name.
Mike White didn't go in there and completely fall apart.
No.
We've seen worse performances than that. I don't know why. And again, a fifth round pick is not much. But if you're a bad team and you're just trying to get as many assets as you can, renting Joe Flacco for a couple weeks is kind of dumb. Like, there's got to be somebody else out there that you could either have gotten for much less or for nothing. Like, just signing them.
Don't you have to assume that there's familiarity with Mike LaFleur and that system, and maybe that's what it is? Or it's with Zach Wilson, we're willing to coach him up to tell him what to do, but with Mike White in there, we need another veteran to be able to tell this Rube what to do.
Yeah, I guess, but it's like their team is either going to have the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth overall pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where they're at. And so I don't know why you would throw anything at anybody at this stage. If Wilson was out for the rest of the year and you have to tell your team, like, you have to convince your team, like, to keep playing, like, I guess that could be kind of dicey. But if you're like, all right, we're going to play Mike White for 4 weeks, and then Zach's back anyway, okay, that's just what it is.
You know what also makes me think, too, in hearing that Flacco goes for a sixth that could go to a fifth, is that maybe a part of the reason why Stephon Gilmore hasn't blasted Bill Belichick is because Belichick was willing to take the compensation from the team that Gilmore wanted to go to.
Yeah, it does sound like. Although there was also a report that came out initially that he wanted to go to the Packers, but going back home definitely is something I'm sure he was happy about.
Well, if he really wanted to go to the Packers and he thought Bill wasn't going to trade him there, then it's the whole, hey, just release me, or then say, oh, I'm not going to report or something like that. I know Gilmore said, hey, I've always wanted to play here, and it was home. And because it's just funny that Joe Flacco gets traded for a sixth this year and Stephon Gilmore gets traded for a sixth next year.
Insane. They have the same value. Like, and I understand there's that second contract part, like, you don't have to worry about with Flacco, and there is with Gilmore, but still, that is pretty crazy.
Monday Night Football was a disaster last night.
Sucked.
It was just a flat-out bad football game, but you got the New Orleans Saints running that record to 4-2 right now after, again, a dud of a game last night. On Monday Night Football, 13-10 was the final, and Jameis Winston had another excuse-me touchdown pass last night.
They got to be actually, there's only a couple of 4-2 teams. You got the Bills are 4-2, the Chargers are 4-2, and the Saints are 4-2. So I was going to say they're the worst 4-2 team, but that's really not much of a stretch at all. That's a team right now that I still don't. I'd be surprised if they made the playoffs. Like, it just doesn't feel like a playoff team. And I know they've put themselves in a good spot. I know they beat the Patriots head-to-head. But I'm certainly not sold on the New Orleans Saints.
Well, and you look at the NFC, it's so top-heavy. That's the other thing, too, is that when you look at the standings and you go to the NFC,
it's the division winners and the Rams.
It is. It is right now. And then New Orleans is right after the Rams.
Right.
And then you have Minnesota and Atlanta. Minnesota right now wins a tiebreaker.
Well,
both those teams are 3-3.
New Orleans is going to be the team that benefits the most from the Russell Wilson injury and for the Niners like not being able to figure it out. Like, because then there's an opportunity for somebody else, and maybe it'll be the Vikings. But in the meantime, it's apparently the New Orleans Saints.
Apparently so. And hey, they got Alvin Kamara, and that's about it. And yet somehow they're 4-2. We'll see if they fall apart a little bit though, because their defense is good. But to hold up and play at the level that they have, to hold teams to 10 and 14 points, I don't know if that's sustainable over the course of the year. We're on to the Chargers. And Ty Law stumps for some of his teammates for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Final hour, Gresham Keefe next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.